Welcome to the Straight Up Small Business Podcast. I'm Bec Buchanan, accountant turned bookkeeping business owner. I'm passionate about small businesses like yours, and I create this weekly podcast to support and inspire you to make the next best decision in your business journey. Hello and welcome to episode 97 of the Straight Up Small Business Podcast. I hope you're having a great week so far and feeling excited about the year ahead. I personally am finally feeling like I'm into the swing of things again after the holiday period. Work is coming in hard and fast, but it is so enjoyable. I'm absolutely loving being a bookkeeper right now. And I've been doing lots of reading and listening to business books on Audible, and I've been planning out my year month by month, which has helped me feel really clear and motivated and on track. And so far, I've kept my goal of not working at night and not taking my laptop anywhere near my bedroom in my house, my bedroom or my boys' bedrooms, I should say. And I've been getting lots of sleep as a result. If you're a regular listener to the podcast, you will know that that's a really big deal for me. So I'm feeling pretty happy about 2024 so far and how I'm approaching it. Habits are so powerful, whether they're good ones or bad ones, and they don't take long to bed down once you practice them for a few days or a few weeks. I'll leave the habit theory to James Clear and his book, Atomic Habits. But here on the podcast today, I do want to inspire you to get into great record-keeping habits if you're a business owner, because this needs to be a habit that you are responsible for. So I'm going to take you through the documentation and record-keeping responsibilities essential for business owners. This chat will be centered around Australia, as always, because that's where I'm based, where I studied, and what I'm qualified to speak on. Before I kick off, I would like to acknowledge the Kujumbura people of the Bundjalung Nation, whose land I'm on whilst recording this podcast today. I pay my respects to their elders, past, present, and emerging, as the traditional owners of my homeland, and I'm committed to learning about the history of my country and contributing to reconciliation for a brighter future. Okay, so let's dive into record keeping now. If you're a business owner, you are legally required to keep records of all your transactions relating to your tax, superannuation matters as you start, run, sell, change, or even close your business. This includes any records pertaining to your business's revenue and expenses, for example, invoices, bills, and receipts, and documents that outline any decisions or choices or estimates, determinations or calculations made for your business's tax and superannuation affairs. In short, you must keep a record of everything. And it's better to keep these records in a systemized and easy to access way rather than knowing you have all the documents somewhere, but that could be in a shoebox or in your email inbox or, you know, at your mother's house. But more on that later. Two happenings this week inspired me to make this episode. The first was I had a discovery call with a potential client who said that she was shocked to see just how simple it was to submit her GST figures to the Australian Taxation Office, or the ATO. That she wasn't asked to provide evidence of how she got to the number she was submitting. She just had to enter it into the ATO business portal and click submit. How easy, she said. And the second instance was another business acquaintance told me she'd been paying for transactions in cash and not getting proof of purchase because her suppliers had been offering her a discount to do so. She was shocked to learn that this doesn't cut it from a record-keeping perspective. It hadn't occurred to her that those suppliers were likely evading tax by not giving her a record of the transaction, and also that she wouldn't be able to legitimately claim a tax deduction for the money she had spent, even though her intentions were good and the expenditure related to her business. I encouraged her to listen to my podcast episode number 15 called Cash in Hand in Business is Not Okay, and here's why. Because here's the thing. The ATO does make it pretty easy for you to submit your tax and GST affairs and details to them, whether you do that for yourself or through a BAS agent or a tax agent. But you are required to have support for those submissions on hand and be ready to prove yourself if and when the ATO calls. and they do call or write you a letter is more the case. If something doesn't stack up in your tax return or your activity statement, the ATO can and will ask you to explain things. And if and when that day occurs, you want to be prepared. Paying overclaimed GST back is not fun. Paying extra tax because you claimed expenses you shouldn't have is not fun. Getting fined and charged interest is not fun. Going through the stress of an audit and how long it takes is sleepless nights 101. I recently took part in a review where the ATO had used their data matching capability to compare PayPal and Stripe feeds that they had access to submissions made in a business owner's activity statement. We were able to prove that everything was in order to the ATO, but I was shocked to learn about the breadth of the ATO's data matching activities and how they were able to get light of the anomaly that led to their review in the first place. My advice is dot your I's and cross your T's, everyone, please, because the ATO is watching. So what is a record? A record explains the tax and super-related transactions conducted by your business. It needs to have enough information for the ATO to determine the nature, purpose, and relevance of the transactions happening in your business. The minimum information that needs to be on the record is generally the date, the amount, the description of the transaction, and the relevant GST information for the transaction, where appropriate. Also, the purpose of the transaction and the relationships between the parties to the transactions, if that's relevant information. There are specific rules for record keeping that need to be followed by business owners in order to meet tax, super, and registration obligations. And here they are. There's five of them. The first is you need to keep all records relating to starting, running, changing, and selling or closing your business that are relevant to your tax and super affairs. And if your expenses relate to both business use and personal use, then you need to make sure you have clear documents to show the business portion. Number two, the relevant information in your records must not be changed and must be stored in a way that protects the information from being changed or the record from being damaged. Tip here, if you have a receipt from Bunnings, make sure you photograph it or put it into software like HubDoc or Dex because they fade. They won't last more than a year. I speak from experience. Number three, you need to keep most records for 5 years. Generally, the five-year retention period for each record starts from when you prepared or obtained the record or completed the transactions or acts those records relate to, whichever is later. You need to keep all information about any routine procedures you have for destroying digital records as well. Number four, you need to be able to show the ATO your records when asked to. And number five, your records must be in English or able to be easily converted to English. I hope that all sounds pretty doable and easy to you. It certainly can be if you're an organized business person. The ATO wants you to keep these records so that they know you are paying the right amount of income tax and GST and doing the right thing by your employees if you employ staff. As you can imagine, if you are claiming business expenses in your tax return and have no record of them, then alarm bells will ring with the ATO. Your word is never going to be enough. And if you say you're paying your employees correctly, but you don't have records of pay slips and super payments, then alarm bells will also ring and your word will certainly not be enough to defend yourself. Know your obligations, follow the rules, and keep proof that you follow the rules. This will keep you on the side of the ATO and will allow you to sleep better at night, every night, even in the midst of an ATO audit. But there are other benefits to be gleaned from great record keeping. Accurate and complete records allow you to monitor the health of your business and know whether your business is running at a profit or a loss. You will make sound business decisions based off those records. You can keep track of money coming in and money going out. You can avoid penalties which may apply for failing to keep records. You can demonstrate your business's financial position if you want to go for a loan or you have a prospective buyer if you're selling your business. You can more easily meet your tax, super, and employer obligations, including preparing and lodging your returns and activity statements and taxable payments and your reports if you have the data on hand. And you will make the process of an ATO audit so much easier and shorter than would be the case if you had to cobble the information together upon request. So to finish up, here are my tips for record keeping. Number one, use accounting software, ideally Xero. Number two, link your accounting software to a business bank account and don't use it for personal reasons, as much as possible. And don't pay for business transactions using your personal card or cards that aren't linked to Xero. This will ensure your bank feed in your accounting software, which I'm just going to say is Xero, has all of your business transactions in it, and you don't need to worry about manually bringing business transactions into Xero from payments made elsewhere. Nor do you have to worry about showing the ATO all the money you spent on personal transactions at Louis Vuitton or McDonald's, for example, by having these transactions coming through your business bank account. Keep them private. Number three. Keep records to support the transactions coming up in the bank feed. The bank feed is not complete as a record in itself. So sales should be supported by invoice that you've sent to your clients or data coming in from an underlying sales system or from your till. And expenses should be supported by receipts and/or tax invoices from suppliers. Know that to claim GST on expenses and get a refund from the ATO, you must have a tax invoice from your supplier, and this is different from an FPOS receipt. A tax invoice says that it is a tax invoice and has the supplier's identity and ABN and the date the invoice was issued, a description of the sale and the GST amount. And if the tax invoice is for a sale greater than $1,000, it must also state the buyer's identity and the buyer's ABN. Number four, I say this all the time, but use Hubdoc or Dex to help with your record keeping. These applications are amazing and they allow you to take photos on your mobile or use email or to scan and upload the documents into the system so that they can be stored in one place. Better than that, they also extract data from the documents, facilitating easy bookkeeping into Xero. But that's another podcast in itself. Number five, file official business documents in a systemized way in the cloud using Google Drive or OneDrive or Dropbox or whatever your preference is for documentation storage. During your business journey, even if you never face an ATO audit, you are going to need to have access to your business documents for one reason or another, and your future self will thank you for being organized about this from the outset. I will give you my own approach to storing documents. I have a straight up bookkeeping admin folder, and within that folder, I have subfolders for areas of my business with further subfolders for the financial years in question. So the subfolders and contents I have are a finance folder, which has budgets and forecasts, my activity statements, my tax returns, ASIC documentation, and workers' compensation calculations. In a HR folder, I have all my staff contracts, performance reviews, and pay reviews, and anything else relating to my staff members. I have a business information folder where I store my company registration documents, my BAS agent documentation, and my tax practitioner's board documentation. I have a legal folder where I contain my trademark documentation, my engagement letters, and contracts and T&Cs that I'm working on using or ones that I've archived from my past. And I have an insurance folder, which obviously has yearly insurance renewals and certificates of currency in it. I have other folders for marketing, leadership, production, and so forth, but those folders contain useful info for me and running my business, and they're not really relevant to record keeping that the ATO cares about. Now, I'm sure the VAs and the EAs out there will have even better ideas for organizing business documentation, and there are no hard and fast rules here. The key takeaway I want you to have is that you should have a systemized and organized way of storing your business documentation. Peace of mind and good business vibes will ensue. Well, that's it for this week. I hope I've inspired you towards better record keeping habits and that I've left you more informed when you first hit play today on what records need to be kept. Have a wonderful week, and I will catch you next time.